Amen. Thank you, Pastor Bert. Yay, good morning, everybody. Y'all look beautiful. I wish you could see yourselves. Y'all look so good. But I'm up here with a beautiful one, my babe, y'all, Beth Sloan. We are so, Craig's gonna take a picture. My babe, Beth Sloan. We are so excited to be here because God is doing great things and he's in the house, huh? He's in the house. So our talk today is on hope for your marriage.
Or, as sometimes we think, what have we gotten ourselves into?
So how many of you have maybe thought that? But if you're not married today, don't worry, because our talk is also focused on relationships. Relationships. For those of you that are thinking, wow, what can I do on this Valentine's Day just to even have a better relationship? You will pick up something from it. Because over the years, we're so excited because when Pastor Jeff and Tracy asked us to share, it was so fun. It was like, things began to just flow so easily. And we're excited because God shared with us three things that I think are really going to be powerful and really going to spark hope, to spark and ignite hope. Because, boy, we are living in a day that do we need hope, y'all, or what? Come on. So our story, just a little bit, we're going to start off and let you know a bit about us. We're going to go back to 1985.
Believe it or not, 1985 is when we met. I was a freshman, and he was a senior at a small Christian college, Bryan College, in the mountains of Tennessee. And we actually had a class together. He took his math class the last moment, and I was in my first math class. And you know what? He made me laugh. He made me feel like life is good. I enjoyed him. We had a good time together as friends, and then it quickly, actually, became more.
Yeah, so I was a senior, y'all, and I was praying. I was like, God, don't let me go out in this world all by myself. And Beth was a freshman, and I sat in this math class because I was a science guy, but math and me, we just had a little problem. So I waited until my senior year to take it, and I walked in, and I said, oh, there's this girl here. Let me sit down, like, right next to here. And so, you know, just using a little humor and a little those little sly things guys do to attract a lady. Beth, I struggled and I said, Beth, can you help me study? And so, boy, she really was a great.
And I fell for it. I really thought he wanted to study.
But the big thing that really began to happen is we started off as friends. Was this idea of adventure. So I was about to join the army, and I was going big and bold. I said, well, God, if I'm going out in this world single, I'm going big. So I said, let's go to far away as I can go. And at that point, the army could send you to Korea. So I said, annyeonghaseyo, let's go to Korea and get some good old kimchi. And so this was as, you know, Beth and I started to date, and we would do adventurous things. We would go hiking. She let me teach her how to rappel. This was a brave girl. And so all of a sudden, God began to knit our hearts together around this theme of adventure. So she was the one when I said, well, Beth, I would really like to travel the world. I have this heart to just go big, bold, see things. And she said, that sounds fun. I said, what? Would you say that one more time?
And I did say, I'll go wherever you go. It sounds like fun to me.
Yes. So for 21 years, Uncle Sam sent us all over the world, and this girl moved with me 13 times. Woo, come on, y'all. That's a special lady right there. And in the midst of all that, we had three wonderful sons. And they moved all over with us also. So this brings us up to about 2007. I said, Beth, we've now run like this for 21 years, what should we do? And I turned to her with a snappy salute and said, what would you like to do, ma'am?
It's time to retire and move back home.
So we retired from the Army, moved back home to Louisville, Kentucky. That's where her wonderful home is. As you guys know, I'm an Atlanta boy. And so, but as I think I've shared with you guys, that I'm an only child. So life for me was kind of simple, but Beth's family was big. So I'm like, where'd all these people come from? So you betcha, we moved here and have been here at the wonderful New Song family now since 2007. So we are now family for sure, huh? Yeah. So that brings us all the way up to current time. And brings us up to the three things that God really dropped in our heart that I really am excited about, because I think he really wants us all to reflect on this today. So the first thing is, it worked. Gracious assumptions. And Beth will speak to us about gracious assumptions.
Gracious assumptions. Have you ever heard of that or thought about what that might mean? Gracious assumptions means you are graciously assuming the best in your partner, whether it's your spouse, your friend, your parents, your friend, your girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever that might be. So graciously assuming means you believe they are doing the best they know how in that moment. It may not be lovely. It may not be what you want them to do. But you are choosing to believe that the best in them. Now, we often think that our circumstances are what need to change for us to be happy. If our spouse would just stop doing that thing that makes us crazy, or if they would just start doing the thing they know we want them to do, but they just can't seem to pull it together, we think if our circumstances change, then we will be happy. How well is that working for you? It doesn't. But honestly, what actually will make you happier is when you start changing your thoughts about the circumstances. And God has even commanded us to do that in Romans 12:2. He says, renew your mind. Constantly renew your mind. And that part of that means you are choosing your thoughts about your spouse. And Doug has a good story.
I got a great one. Just happened just the other day. Now, guys, we're going to be as real as we can with you guys. So we're not making anything up we're talking about today. This is real. You can't, like, make something up with your wife standing right here. But no, she knows. But anyway, Beth really loves to help me drive. I mean, I just can't do it. I mean, she asked me when I get home, how'd you get home? Did you drive by yourself? I mean, Beth, it helps me drive. I mean, she tells me what everybody's doing, when to go, when to stop. But now we've done that for, y'all, we're celebrating 35 years this year. So, whoa, come on. So for 35 years, I've got the best driving coach in the world. But I have learned to respond to that with a gracious assumption. I say, no. I mean, I'm not going crazy. Beth's got a good intent for me. And I can name at least three times she has saved my bacon by helping me drive. So, yes, that's just a real easy example of how, if you don't really catch those things, if I would let that little thing upset me, then the next thing would, then the next thing, then the next thing, then the next thing. And that's when we wonder, how did that big explosion happen? So with a gracious assumption, by assuming a positive intent, I go, no, Beth's heart's for me. I know her. I've lived with this girl for 35 years. I know her.
And we also have another verse that's really good. You want to throw that up?
Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things.
So if what's going on in your mind does not match up to this, just stop, pivot, and choose to believe the best.
Absolutely. Isn't it powerful? We have the option to choose. I mean, don't forget, we can choose. Sometimes we think we can't, but no, we can. Whether or not you think you can or you can't, you're right. Huh? So yes, you can choose. So the next thing, first is gracious assumptions. The next thing is fun. Fun. Never discount fun. One of the first things we do when we're getting wonky. Yeah, we get wonky. Doug Sloan and Beth get wonky. We do. And we've been through some wonky times. One of the first things we look at each other and reflect on is, when's the last time we had some fun? And many times the things of life can just trap you in, especially during this COVID season, huh? Whoa, I mean, we've had to be mega creative during COVID in how to have fun. And so lately our fun has just been going on a lot of walks. You know, we've found a lot of fun just in motion. Just said, hey, let's just go walk and let's just go play. Let's go. Lately it's also been, Beth, I just like to waste time with you. You know, waste time. Just, can I just drive you around Saturday wherever you need to go? Can I just wait? Because I just want to trap you in the car because I got you all to myself. And we can just waste time together. So this idea of fun, don't ever discount fun. We found out that that's when sometimes when we have fun, it just changes everything. We call these three things we're sharing with you game changers because it'll literally change the game if you'll start off with being able to control your mind, how you think, gracious assumptions. If you'll say, yeah, when we're feeling kind of wonky, when's the last time we had some fun? Think about this verse. Think about Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes. Now, Solomon's one I can't wait to meet when I get to heaven. The wisest man on all the earth. And remember what this book was about. He was trying to say, I've got everything. I mean, everything. But it all seems to be vain. What is the sum of the matter? And he says, so I commend the enjoyment of life. Because there is nothing better for a person under the sun than to eat, drink, and be glad. Then joy will accompany them in their toil all the days of the life God has given them under the sun. Now remember, I love studying what people's last words are. Last words are so powerful. And in Ecclesiastes, I love this. The wisest man in all there says, I have it all, but the sum of the matter is love God and keep his commands. That's what he summed it all up to. So think about that. The enjoyment of life. Have fun. And that needs to be first in your marriage. Having fun. Next.
So we've talked about gracious assumptions. We've talked about having fun. The third thing we want to talk about is forgiveness. Now, this is a hard one. It's been a really hard one for me for years and years and years. I have a lot of pride. I don't want to admit I'm wrong. Even though I know I was wrong, I just don't want to say it out loud. I'll work it out with God. You're like, okay, we're good. I figured it. I was wrong. But I don't want to admit it to Doug or to a friend or whoever I might have wronged. I've had a lot of struggle in this area. Asking for forgiveness and also forgiving. But I am learning and growing, like I'm hoping that we all are in some area of our life. And we are going to be using a model today that I've learned through Revelation Wellness, which is a ministry that I'm a part of. They have taught this model, and I've learned a lot from it. The leadership in Revelation Wellness actually models this in our instructor training retreats. At the end of the retreat, they model this with each other. The leaders model it in front of us, dealing with real life situations. So there are four steps to this forgiveness model. Now, this is just a model. You can use whichever one you want. This is the one that we've been working on.
It's really worked well for us, yes.
So the first step of this forgiveness model is acknowledge your part. You admit what you have done wrong, whether it's something you said or did, and you acknowledge it without making any excuses. You don't say, well, I said something mean, but you were blah, blah, blah. No, you say, I said whatever it was. You admitted. That's step number one.
Yeah, so the reason this is so powerful, because many times we just stop after step number one, right? We just go, I'm sorry, I did, will you forgive me? And, I mean, that's usually as far as we get. But the reason this model is a game changer for us and is because it challenges with this. How did it make you feel? Oh, whoa. Now, can you imagine how risky this is to ask the person that you're seeking forgiveness from? How did it make you feel? Yeah, so don't forget, you've got to be in a good place before you ask, because you've got to be willing to hear. Yes. So don't forget the acronym we've learned here in our family, HALT. We say this a lot, right? HALT, if you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, don't do nothing. Wait until you're not hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, because if you are, you're about to step in it. Yeah, so make sure if you need to halt, you need to halt. But how did it make you feel is the second step. The third step is,
how can I do it better next time? There will probably be a next time. Ask them how they can help you do it better. And then sit and listen. And don't make excuses again. You just sit and listen and you nod. And you say, thank you. I will work on that. Thank you.
Imagine the power of this, y'all. This is, yeah, it's not easy. This is hard. This is really hard. But imagine the feedback that you get. I mean, incredible. Last part is, will you forgive me? Will you forgive me? Meaning asking that. Getting to the point to where you can actually ask that. Powerful.
And remember, not all things will you be willing to forgive quickly, or able to forgive quickly, I should say. Some things take a while to process and forgive, and that is okay. But if you need time to process and forgive, you need to tell your friend, your spouse, to say, I'm working on this, and I will get back with you, and give them a time frame. Don't just leave it indefinite. I've been bad about that. Like, I need a little time, but I never actually got back with him. And he was like hanging, like, have you forgiven me? I'm like, oh, yeah, a long time ago. But he was like, you never told me. And that's very powerful.
Very powerful.
And also, I want to say one more thing about forgiveness, this model, or whatever type of forgiveness you want to do. You cannot force your spouse to reciprocate.
Come on.
This is up to you and only you. You cannot go into forgiveness thinking, well, now they are going to also do this for me. No, you cannot expect that. And in fact, none of these things, you can't assume your spouse or friend will have gracious assumptions for you, but you can do it. And you can work through forgiveness with your loved one.
So. Absolutely. So these are all choices you can make. That's the power of it. Now, this one's so powerful, y'all, and it has radically altered our lives. Even after 35 years, we're still learning this, but this has been probably one of the most powerful things we've learned, so we're going to model it. We're going to actually do a real one. So what you're about to see has not been recorded or taped. This is real. Yeah, we're...
And we got to sit down for this.
And we got to sit down for this, because now if you would see us do this live, we would probably be hand in hand walking down the road at our house. Lately, we found motion helps everything. I mean, isn't it amazing, God? Yeah, it's just crazy. Or if you ever see us at a coffee shop and we're holding hands and we're looking kind of serious, we might be doing something like this.
And also for me, I do better side by side, like walking and talking about serious things, than face to face. So you all can figure out what works for you.
Yeah. So that's the secret sauce, is just to try and then figuring out what works best for you. So to set this up, COVID has been really hard on me, y'all. It's been really hard. As a 7, a Enneagram 7, if you guys know that, you really know who has been hard on me. And so to set this up, we were having a hard time at the house a couple weeks back. We've been working so hard not to get COVID that some of our family got it. And so it really set me back, and it caused this psychological dysfunction, because now we have COVID in the house, and we were working so hard to not get it, and now our family members have it in the house, and Dougie lost it. Dougie. And I do things, I don't do anything quiet, and that's the problem. As a 7, you know, you're hearing me talk like that. Well, when I lose it, I get loud too. I'm like, oh man, you know, nothing's quiet. So Beth, a couple weeks ago, as you know, I really wasn't myself, and I really lost it. And I've had time to calm down now, and I'm really convicted, and I really want to come to you and just say I'm just really sorry that when the COVID, when our family members got COVID, that I just kind of said some things that I shouldn't have said, and I said them too loud. I lost my cool, and I just wasn't myself. So I just want to say that I'm sorry for that. How did that make you feel?
It actually scared me. Because it's not a normal way that you talk. And no. I knew that you had gotten to the point of, it had gotten too much. And I wasn't sure, as a Enneagram 9, I'm a peacemaker. So I avoid conflict at all cost, okay? And this was some big conflict. And I didn't like it, and it made me really scared. And I wasn't sure how to bring the peace back. I wanted to do it as fast as possible, but I knew that wasn't actually the answer. So it actually made me scared.
Wow, babe. Thanks for sharing that. I've been thinking about this a lot. I'm just wondering, how could I do this better next time?
I think to communicate even very clearly how you were feeling the days leading up to the blow up, and letting us know more specifically what we could do for you to feel safer in our home.
Wow, thanks. Yeah, I can see that now. I could have done that a lot. Yeah, better. We could have talked about this would probably happen, and we could have had a, you know, better plan. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. So, will you forgive me?
Yes, honey, I forgive you. You are forgiven and free.
Oh, thank you, babe. Thanks so much.
And I also had a part in this whole issue. So I'm going to go through this with him as well, because it wasn't just a one-sided thing. I also had a part. So my part in this, Doug, was you had been communicating how you were feeling, but I was lonely.
Wow.
And I wanted to be around our family members who were sick. I missed them, and I didn't take it seriously enough, and I didn't respect the way you were feeling, and I'm sorry for that. So how did that make you feel?
Yeah, I think you really touched on it there. I just really felt disrespected, and as you know, that's a huge thing for me. And because we had talked, we had shared, but we just weren't very clear. But I just felt like by us not taking this seriously, we were just assuming, you know, nothing was going to happen, and I just felt really disrespected. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that, because that hurts my heart when you're when you feel disrespected. I never want that to be a part of our relationship.
Thank you.
So how can I do it better next time?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot for us both, and just to be able to treat this as real. This is something that's really happening. We have lots of friends who have this, and now our family has had it, and just to really know how we handle this as a family when it comes, you know, in our house. To have a plan that we've both worked through, talked through, and just to really know how we're going to respond and that we're going to take it real seriously. Yeah, that would just help me.
Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. Will you forgive me?
Oh, yes, sweetie. You are forgiven and free. You betcha.
Thank you. I love you.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. Well, that even feels better doing that again. Yeah. You know, isn't that powerful, y'all? Don't you love those words? Rev Well even did something that I had never thought about. You're forgiven and free. It's like forgiven and free just blows some more fresh air into the room. Doesn't it just, I was like, oh, thank you. I mean, forgiven and free, meaning I'm free from whatever I was feeling. Guilt, shame, condemnation, Romans 8:20. There's no condemnation to those that love God, for those that are called according to his purpose. And to have that with your wife, oh man, or your, yeah, as we've talked about, this is all even good stuff for just relationships. Yeah. Good stuff. So the three things we've talked about, the three game changers that we really feel the Holy Spirit just dropped in so fast. Because we said, Lord, after 35 years, you know, what are just some things you've really shown us that have helped us so much? Because we have such a desire. My heart's desire is to finish this race well. To be able to have, I think about this a lot, y'all, to have my sons stand up over my casket and to be able to say, here's a man who ran hard, who loved God, who lived life with no regret, no reserve, and no retreat. And at least I know one right there who finished the race well. But to do that in these days is not easy. It is a hard, hard race. But it takes us being able to understand we do have a choice. God did give us the mind of Christ. I love the passage of Scripture that says, a mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Controlled by the Spirit, a mind controlled by the Spirit. That we can choose gracious assumptions. I can choose when something happens with my family, with my wife, with my sons, at work. At church, y'all? We don't have problems at church, do we? We're godly, right? We're righteous. Yeah, when something happens, yeah, we can choose. I know so-and-so's heart. We had a gracious assumption. I can choose that thought. Fun, we can choose to have fun. Forgiveness, quick to forgive. So as we end today, we just really want to speak a blessing over you. We really believe blessings are transferable. So if you'll receive this, Beth and I are going to speak it. So we're going to speak a blessing over you, and we're going to speak favor over you, because we really believe in the God that we serve. May the God of hope...
fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
So, Father, in the name, the strong name of Jesus, Father, let your Holy Spirit just seal that in our hearts and everybody's heart here. Father, that the God of hope is able to fill us with all joy, that we may overflow by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I know these words came directly from you. So, Father, we just trust in you that they will go forth and yield good fruit. Lord, that this seed, these words are seeds that are going forth right now. And Lord, may they reap a harvest in due season as we take one of those seeds and as we water it. Lord, may it just turn into a bounty of your favor. God, that's what I see. I see these words being seeds that have been thrown out there, and that they're going to be caught at different times in different ways. And maybe the seed today that somebody catches is a seed of gracious assumptions, and they just decide to water that just a little bit. Maybe somebody says, the seed of fun, I need that one. I need to just do something for fun, and let's water that one a bit. Or maybe somebody's thinking, oh, I need to ask for forgiveness in a way that I really feel like I'm forgiven and free. So God, water those seeds, do with them what you will, and we'll be grateful and careful to give you all the praise and glory in your strong name. Amen. Be blessed, everybody. We love you. Have a wonderful Sunday.